Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Connections. I'm Rick Moore, along with Bill Newell, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Josh Arnold will be joining us later on. And as we have mentioned, we're going daily now with this program, and we are live this morning. And we're going to get right to our interviews. My great pleasure to be chatting with Brian Forget, who is the superintendent of schools in the Triton Regional School District. And Brian, good morning, and welcome to MSO.
Good morning, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, this is great. I appreciate your getting back to us. There's so much to discuss. We talked with the Masconomet Superintendent of Schools last week, Mike Harvey. We'll be chatting later on in this hour with the Gloucester High School principal about their transition. But Brian, before we get to the current state of affairs, I'd like to talk a little bit about your career, because to me, as a former educator, it's fascinating, and the fact that you've done just about every single job there is to do in a school system, and I'm guessing including cleaning your own classroom.
Absolutely. Way back in the day. So, yeah, I started finishing my 25th year now in the district, started as an instructional assistant, and then moved on to classroom teacher at Pine Grove School in Raleigh. Moved over to Newbury Elementary as the assistant principal and then principal of Newbury Elementary, and then in 2005, moved over to the district office. So I spent 11 years as a business manager and then assistant superintendent. And then coming up on 4 years ago, this July, began my tenure as superintendent. So Triton is an amazing place. I've been blessed to be part of the Triton community for many years. And as I said, consider myself lucky to mm-hmm. have been able to fill all those roles. And, you know, as an educator yourself, you understand being a leader, it is incredibly important to understand the folks and the roles and the varied roles that you're attempting to be the leader of. So I certainly consider my track record and my history one of the greatest assets in being able to be an effective superintendent today, for sure.
Yeah, my opinion is that you have a great advantage over others. I mean, people in the system administrators and so on. Sometimes we would have an administrator who came from the business world or came from outside right into the school, and it most of the time it didn't work well. However, when we had someone who so-called had risen from the ranks, you understand the day-to-day in the classroom stuff as well as the administrative stuff. So again, I think Triton's in great shape having you up there. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you also, the Triton School District does cover pre-K up through 12?
So it is. It is a full academic region, and as of the fall of 1995, it became a full pre-K through 12 academic region. So, so similar to Pawtucket, Hamilton, Wenham, different from Masconomet, that has as you were saying, Mike Harvey was on last week, that's a secondary regional and then an elementary union. So we are, I am the superintendent of the Triton School, so that is all students preschool through grade 12 for Newbury, Rowley, and Salisbury, correct.
Covers it all. And you know, covering that many communities, I want to get into the communication aspect of it in a minute here. But I noticed that I think what caught my eye a few weeks ago was that Triton was one of the first, or at least a news article pointed out that Triton was one of the first schools that had someone from the district go visiting overseas, came back, and then was diagnosed with the virus, and Triton was dealing with that. So you guys caught wind of this pretty early on, didn't you?
We did, and actually, just a correction there, it was someone who had traveled overseas, no illness, no
okay.
Staff member came back to the middle school, and it was just a precaution. Reached out to us and said, hey, just so you know, I came back, and we said, let's, you know, out of an abundance of caution, let's just say you're home for 15 days, and person did, and it went well. So, yeah, so we started this a long time ago, it feels like now. It feels like years ago we started.
Oh, I know. What was your first inclination of this? Was it when the kids, or when this overseas trip took place, or reading about it, or were you guys informed through the Department of Education? How'd that go?
It started in January. You know, we started hearing discussions, and it was very limited, right? You started hearing about what was happening over in Europe, and it was oh my gosh, that's happening over there. And as we went through January and into February, we started to, you know, folks were coming back, folks had been traveling, you know, families, what have you, and it just started to kind of pop onto folks' radars. And it felt like it went from, from an issue that was just distant to it feels like it went from, you know, 0 to 100 literally over the course of the first couple weeks of March leading up to that. You know, Friday the 13th was the last day we were in school. So it feels like it happened very quickly. You know, when I look back, it's as I, you know, not joking, I mean, completely joking, but not, it literally feels like a year ago of what's transpired in the last.
I can't even imagine how much lack of sleep that you and your compatriots are going through up and down the spectrum in education. It's just, this is such a whole blank screen that you're dealing with. And, you know, I do want to get into that. I know that the schools obviously have transitioned or are transitioning, whatever the case may be, you know, to the online learning. But there must be so many different layers of this onion for you that that you're still probably unpeeling.
Absolutely, absolutely. I've said this several times. I just, every day I find myself saying, wow, I never thought about that. And I'm sure it's the same for every classroom teacher and principal, administrator, or food service person. It's just, it is a completely different world. So we've been very methodical in the way we've rolled out remote learning. We initially, obviously, the closure was a local decision, and then obviously the governor stepped in and closed schools statewide. We were very reliant on the Department of Ed guidance in that we have, as every district does in the Commonwealth, an incredible diverse population. So whether we're talking about resources or ability, language barriers, so to say we can employ a remote learning plan process and be able to reach every student and be able to provide the same level of support for those who need it and challenge for those who need it is absolutely, to say, you know, peeling the onion, it's every day there's a new challenge. So mm-hmm. We've been very slow and methodical. Transitioned early from teachers are available, you know, having office hours as of Monday the 16th and engaging students, but students weren't required to participate. The state then changed their guidance, and then it became a requirement about 2.5 weeks ago. And then with the extension through the end of the year, the commissioner, very late on Friday afternoon or evening at 8:22 p.m., issued their promised additional guidance. So we're in the process of unpacking that and anticipate that there'll be some slight tweaks. Basically the same thing, right? Parents, we're focusing on, we'll call it asynchronous learning versus synchronous learning. So if you have a schedule where students have to be part of a Zoom class or a Google Meet class, and you've got three, you know, kiddos at home, and you've got two parents who are working, that becomes incredibly challenging. Even if you have a large house with multiple devices and plenty of bandwidth, trying to schedule everyone, you know, throughout the day is a challenge. So rather than the synchronous learning, which is, hey, I need you on the Zoom at this time and this time, we're attempting to promote and favor asynchronous learning, where the teachers promote and publish a week schedule and say, here's what I need you to work on for this subject. Obviously, at the elementary with a self-contained classroom, it's much more concise. And then families can pace it for themselves. If mom needs to be on a Zoom call in the dining room at 8 a.m. and dad needs to be somewhere else on a call at 10 a.m. and, you know, families can just figure out the pace and the schedule for themselves. Myself, you know, I'm working from home as much as possible. My wife's a therapist, doing the same thing and providing remote teletherapy from one room, and I'm in another room, and my daughter's a senior in high school and my son is an eighth grader. So, you know, everyone in their places, and so just four of us. It's crazy sometimes trying to make sure that everyone be in a semi-quiet place when they need to be there. So so that's been our approach, and I know families are anxious. With the guidance from the commissioner, he talked about different phases and a new phase in early May. My messages, it's going to be, there'll be slight tweaks, but the premise will be the same, focusing on keeping kids engaged, keeping kids healthy and families safe, and then keeping students engaged, and we'll, you know, tweak it slightly to focus on some of the areas we want to make sure are addressed before, you know, we transition kids on to the next grade level come fall.
science fiction come to life. Before Khan Academy, before Khan Academy and all this other stuff, back in the last century, I got a grant to videotape my math classes and create a library of those for kids who were absent. They could check out the old VHS, and then that transitioned into CDs, and then Khan Academy came along, and I kept slapping myself on the head thinking, why couldn't I do that?
Exactly.
But there is so much out there, and that leads me to a couple of questions, really. I guess I'll talk first about staff, because you mentioned support staff, you mentioned cafeteria. I mean, I'm thinking custodians, bus drivers, safety personnel, all of those people involved in the schools across the spectrum, across the Triton District. It has to be quite a transition for them and for you to oversee that as well.
Absolutely. So we, you probably saw early on, Lucinda Ward, who is our food services director, jumped right out of the gate and was ready to provide grab-and-go meal service. So as of that second week we were closed, we had a grab-and-go meal service. We partnered with our neighbor's table in Amesbury in the Boys and Girls Club in Salisbury. And Salisbury was a community that was able to qualify as a community to have fully reimbursable federal meals. So don't have to qualify anyone. So that qualified the district. So as of that second week, we about 150 bus stops in Salisbury were delivering grab-and-go meals.
Wow.
Curbside pickup to anyone who wanted to come get them at Salisbury Elementary, and then coordinating delivery through the Boys and Girls Club over to families in Newbury and Raleigh that needed it. That actually, as of yesterday, we actually opened up Pine Grove as another pickup spot. So anyone, any student, any child under the age of 18 living in our three communities, there's a quick survey online, completely anonymous. It's just for literally getting a sense of how many meals we need at which location, and so we're not wasting food. But we do two days worth of meals on Monday, a breakfast and a lunch. So four meals on Monday, four meals on Wednesday, and then on Friday, families can pick up three breakfasts and three lunches. So six meals for Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Wow!
Unbelievable. The food service workers have been everyone has been rising to the occasion. But they, under Lucinda's leadership, literally jumped out of the gate and had that rolling that second week. So that's been a tremendous resource. About 500 meals being served daily. So actually, I should say about 1,000, because it's about 500 students who are participating two meals a day. So, you know, from the technology staff who have now handed out, I think, close to 500 Chromebooks to families who needed them, loaned them out. Obviously, we're insured, so are loaning those out to families still. If families can contact, actually Jim Montaneri in Salisbury has been the point person there at the school. Anyone across the district can reach out, and we'll have a curbside pickup of a Chromebook, sign a quick waiver. You know, custodians stepping up. The early on, it was, as we were talking about prior to closure, it was making sure schools were going far above and beyond, cleaning and sanitizing. And buildings have been primarily empty. You know, the school office is somewhat, and our district office has to be in and out to some degree, printing checks and paying invoices. You know, there's a lot that has to happen via paper. But by and large, buildings have been empty. Now, with the extended closure, we're going to start transitioning to the biggest challenge I'm sure every district is figuring it out is, when we left on Friday the 13th, we said, you know, take the things you need, but by and large, everything is sitting in lockers and classrooms as it was on Friday the 13th. So need to have a plan and process in place for teachers to be in and clean out classrooms, and then make sure we get all of the personal belongings of students back to families. So that is a process we're now unpacking, and custodians will be key in that. So, yeah, all of the services, educators have done unbelievable work operating so far outside of their comfort zone. I keep saying to folks, this is not normal for anyone.
Right.
Teachers, but everyone, you know, regardless of the role they play, we have a roughly 425 employees. Everyone has, I mean, literally been brought to tears a couple times looking and seeing what people have done so far beyond what we could have ever expected for folks. So it's been amazing to watch.
I have a couple more topics if we have time. Do we still have time? Okay. One of the things, a sports analogy that comes to my mind, toward the end of my teaching career, more and more stuff got online. There are a lot of the rookie teachers, the new teachers were coming in, and they were doing lessons online. They were doing some remote learning at that point. in sports, generally it's the veterans who help the rookies out along the way if they're so inclined. And, you know, the seniors will help out the freshmen, the sophomores, and so on if you want to have a successful team. But I found with the technology, it was the other way around. The veterans needed the help from the rookies. Yep. So where you can't get together now, how is the learning curve for those teachers who, let's say, just aren't so great or so comfortable with technology?
Yeah, so what we've tried to encourage teachers to do is at a grade level or a department, if you're looking at the high school, to work together, because in any, you know, a department of 10 teachers for the math department at the high school, there's going to be varied levels of comfort, similar to, you know, 4 teachers in the third grade at Salisbury Elementary. So there's going to be a varied comfort level. So if teams are working together, they can piggyback off of one another, provide the support. As you said, veterans will have one set of skills and bring one piece of expertise to that discussion. Someone who is more comfortable with technology, young or old, would bring a different skill set. And it also then allows folks to backfill when inevitably lots of teachers with young kids or older parents or family members who have been ill. So, you know, if there's 10 teachers and working as a department, if someone needs to be somewhere else dealing with life because of the pandemic, then others can backfill and fill in. So absolutely, this has been an exercise, and it takes everyone in the village to pull this off.
I'm going to have to renew my teaching certificates because I want to apply for a job up there.
Great place to be.
It sounds like
great
it.
To be.
Honest to goodness. I think my final thought is the concern for the senior class. Obviously, they're missing out at the moment on many of their social activities that they look forward to for so long. You go into a high school as a freshman, and boy, that 4-year period looks so far down the tubes, but there it is. And, the spring sports season has been canceled. The other activities, I'm sure, are postponed. And I think in terms of academics, I don't think it's that critical for seniors their last term, because their work primarily is done, especially those who are going on to college.
Sure.
But what is the overall thought of the school district, of the high school, and the senior class, in terms of maybe just putting some salve on their wounds?
Absolutely, and this is hitting close to home. As I mentioned, my daughter is a senior at Pawtucket, so I'm living this as a parent and with her as a senior. You know, it's the, I was joking the other day, I mean, there's so many different aspects to your senior years you just mentioned. So there's, you know, all these events that happen, the prom, senior week, graduation obviously is a huge rite of passage. So lots of discussion about, is it better to is it the traditional ceremony that everyone wants, and at that point we then would need to wait to do that, or is it more important to live in the moment in that early June time frame and find another way to celebrate that fits within the social distancing requirements that we're under? So we're working on that. That is actually, was already this morning, had a discussion with the high school principal. Literally, I mean, the list of options and ideas range from maybe to, oh my gosh, that's crazy, no way. So, I mean, literally everything is on the table right now, obviously hoping to find further or hear further guidance from the state. Will things change maybe a little bit later in June? You know, the concern is if we kind of hedge our bet and say we'll do something over the summer and the restrictions continue, then we've, you know, lost a lot of students off to service, to college, or even if they're college locally. I mean, things get hectic as of September for having graduated seniors. So we're still working on that. It's a work in progress. All the end of year ceremonies and again, rites of passage for the class of 2020, you know, joking with parents to say, you know, senior prank week, it's still got to happen. It's just going to happen at home. So, you know,
uh-oh.
If you need any ideas, safely.
Well, I can't imagine. My daughter graduated 3 years ago. She just finished her third year in college, and I can't imagine the angst that some of these kids must be going through on the one hand. But on the other hand, they're so resilient, they're so cool, that they're gonna make the proverbial lemonade out of this, I guess.
I have no doubt. Class of 2020 is going to be. I was saying to my daughter, you know, think about this: when you have grandkids someday,
yep.
Look back on this. The great pandemic of 2020, that was your senior year, and you'll be able to look at all these experiences that happened, sad and hard right now, but resiliency will be paramount for
you
sure.
Got it.
would be pressed to look back on this.
Brian, we're going to end this up, but I need to ask you a question off the air here, if I could. Is there anything else that you'd like to mention to the parents or to those listening about the current school situation?
So I would just say, you know, heartfelt thanks and appreciation for patience and endurance here. You know, this has been absolutely mind-boggling. And as I said earlier, so far outside of anyone's comfort zone. So I know we're asking parents to be teachers. And Rick, you know, it's not an easy profession, and we're asking them to do that on top of their day job. And so it's been a challenge. So I would just ask for your continued patience and commitment, and we will get through this. And I so look forward to seeing everyone back in person in the schools someday very soon.
That is Brian Forgett, who is the superintendent of schools in the Triton School District. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.